The cross word for today is justify or justification, which basically means to be declared right by God. And we'll read some verses from the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans and then turn and explore the meaning of them. The reading on the sheet then, from Romans chapter 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel," writes Paul, "because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first the Jews, then to the Gentiles. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Then on to chapter 3. "But now, apart from the law," that is God's commandments he gave in the first 5 books of the Bible, "apart from them, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify," that is, all the Old Testament speak of it. "This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference between Jew and Gentiles, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ, by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as our sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." And then in chapter 5, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. May God bless to us this, his word. The fact that God is right, or God is righteous, and demands of us righteousness, is perhaps self-evident. But therein lies a problem, because righteousness is not a word that we commonly use, certainly not outside Christian circles, and even within these circles, not very often. Yet it just means simply right. Right living, right thinking, right speaking, right relationships with others, and above all, being right before God. It is in the gospel, especially in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that was the gospel that Paul preached, the cross, that our righteousness that is by faith from first to last is revealed and declared. And this is what we are invited to accept by faith, and then to live it out also by faith. So our meditation today starts with the word righteous, or simply right. And of course, we all long to be right. If something's not right, we complain. If we have a fault in something we purchase, we're there knocking on the door of the shop saying, it's not right, it doesn't work. Or again, don't we say, oh, it's not right, it's not fair. Why do they have everything? Why do they get off so lightly after all they've done? We demand right. And if we demand it, don't you think God demands it all the more? For he, in fact, is the one who defines what is right. All true right comes from him. He is the touchstone of what is right. And of course, if we go against it, we know what is wrong. But in every age, people have tried to define for themselves what is right and wrong. This only shows up the nature of our rebellion against God. We will refuse his standards and try to make our own. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, shows in the remainder of chapters 1 and then 2 and the beginning of chapter 3 that indeed, as he sums up in the chapter bit that we read, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He starts with the Gentiles and deals with two categories. First, there are those whom everyone would agree are wicked, who ignore the light within them, who ignore their own consciences and go from bad to worse. Yes, yes, we would agree. They're certainly included in all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are clearly far from being right with God. But be careful if we say that now we are not judging and being judgmental. Because the second group that Paul introduces us to are those who are not so bad folk. They're not perfect by any means, but certainly not that. Nice folk, kind folk, good folk. And, of course, the fact that God doesn't strike them down means that God is overlooking or just condoning their not-so-good behavior. Or perhaps God is thinking and accepting that the good they have done is just sufficient to balance any wrong. Oh no, Paul says, that's not the way of it. That's wrong thinking. They too, you and me, all of us, are included in all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Paul's time, of course, there were the Jews who had the law of God, the revelation of who God is and what he demands of his people, a tremendously privileged position before God. They had all the instructions on how to be right with God. Surely they aren't included. But argument against argument that Paul gives demonstrated that they too are included in the all. There's no difference, he says, between Jew and Gentile. All are under the power of sin, the guilt of sin, the penalty of sin. And he quotes one of his psalms that says, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who seeks God. Now, this would be a terrible conclusion to finish on. If I finished, no hope of being made right with God, saying one to another, yes, I am with that all who have sinned, I too are with the all who have fallen short of the glory of God. Now some would argue, well, if we're all in the same boat, does it really matter? Why doesn't God just accept us the way we are? For each one of us is the same. Can't he just accept us as we are? This is certainly some people's reaction. If sin is so prevalent, why shouldn't God just ignore it? Well, the little ones at least. No, no. God takes it seriously, all of it. Some, on the other hand, search the scriptures and find the character of God described as seen in Exodus, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Well, they say, we'll be all right, for God is a God of love. Isn't he? He will forgive. That's what he does. That's what he's promised to do. But if we had read on just a little, it says, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. Oh, some would say, that's the hard part of God. But that's really just the Old Testament part of God. Not so. They would claim that he's portrayed there as a hard God. But now in the New Testament, he's declared as a God of love. No, no, God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And indeed, the cross of Jesus shouts to us all that God takes sin seriously. Paul writes in the first chapter, another verse we didn't read but could have read, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people. Do we demand justice? God also demands justice. Others claim to have lived a reasonable life, not a bad life. Surely the good that I have done will count for something. They hope, wishful thinking at best, a hope that does not bear any weight, for it is intrinsically false. An elderly lady I met in hospital was in deep distress and asked, have I done enough? Have I done enough? She cried. How would you answer her? Clearly the answer should have been no. But that would have been cruel to say if one could not point out a different way to be right with God. So how are we to be made right with God? What is this new way, this gospel way of righteousness? And it is now that the meaning of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and the cross word justify or justification sheds some light on the matter and gives sinful people a real hope of being accepted by God. Now we've looked at several cross words so far, and each has shown some particular light on the meaning of the death of Jesus. None are complete in themselves. They all go together, just like the one we're studying today, to give us a complete picture of the meaning of the death of Jesus. In reconciliation, the area taken from the area of relationships, we were reminded of our relationships with God, relationship with God. When we looked at atonement taken from the temple and sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away our sin, the sin of the world. When we looked at redemption, we were taking a word from business life and purchasing, for we were purchased from our slavery to sin and death. Justification or justify is taken from the courtroom. It's a legal word. And in some ways, the letter of Paul is presented as a legal argument, as though he were in the courtroom. And as I've illustrated, he, in chapters 2 and 3, demonstrates, brings all the arguments together that all have sinned. To get the idea behind this word, justify, we may think of some things we say in common usage. We may say to a person who has done something that we considered wrong, justify yourself, justify your actions, meaning to prove that you are indeed right. So justification is at its simplest being right, or rather being declared right, proving ourselves right. And this idea is what is coming across in Scripture. Look at verse 24 in the reading that we have. All are justified, declared right before God. How? Do we have to work for it? No. Freely, by His grace. No part of our effort contributing anything, only His love and mercy. Through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus, in other words, through the death on the cross. Justify is linked to the death of Jesus, to His cross. As is underlined in the next verse, verse 25, for God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood. He was declared guilty so that we could be declared right by God. God did not ignore sin. Jesus paid it all. God does not simply forgive. Jesus took our sin upon Himself. We do not contribute our goodness. We trust in Jesus as we sang, simply to Thy cross I cling. There was a time, as verse 25 says, when God overlooked the wickedness and it was left unpunished. But now that is no longer the case. The full punishment for all sin has been taken upon the Lord Jesus Christ, so that God is now clearly declared as just. For He has dealt with the offense of our sin. In Jesus, He punished rightly all sin in and through that death on the cross, so that through Him, Jesus, we might be justified by faith. God's justice satisfied. For us, Jesus paid it all. We are declared right with God through faith. not of ourselves. It is his goodness and grace. This is the wonder of the power and the greatness of the death of Christ Jesus, encapsulated in the word justify. It was when Luther grasped this justification by faith and by faith alone that a new fire burned in him of the goodness of God and the kindness of God and the grace of God, so that when he gripped it, that he was right with God through faith alone, there was such a fire lit in him that it burned, and so the Reformation took place, burning and holding high the banner, justification by faith. It lit up the whole of Europe with a new faith in God. It was wonderful at that time. Let us ponder it. It has massive implications for us. As our verse from chapter 5 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. God is at peace with us. His peace fills us, and we are at peace with God. Justified by faith proclaims the certainty of the peace of God. The death of Jesus as my substitute, died he for me, we sing, accepted by faith, is our assurance of this peace. God's peace that he has made with us stands. Our peace, on the other hand, with God may depend on our feelings. One is sure and certain. Ours may be less variable. Which is the most important? Our feeling peace, at peace with God? Or knowing for a certainty that God is at peace with me, with you. Think of it. God is at peace with you. Explore what this means practically in your life. Even in the valley of the shadow where he leads us, he will be with us. He is our peace. For we have been declared right with God. We have been declared thus by God. For Jesus on the cross paid it all. Yes, we are justified. Yes, we are declared right by God, with God. Will we not accept it and live in it by faith? Let us pray.